Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Scott Klein. You may know Scott from such Channel 9 shows as Data Exposed.
Data Exposed.
And?
SQL Unplugged.
And? You have done This Week in Channel 9.
Oh, yes.
We did one.
We've done a couple.
Yes.
Yeah, where we
it's the last day of the fiscal year here.
That's right.
And the beginning of the year, we have commitments. And one of our commitments is we're going to do X number of shows. And I don't even remember what I said. But given that it's the last day of the year,
fiscal year,
I thought maybe we should get one more show in.
That's right.
And so I walked down the hall to my good buddy Scott.
Said, what are we going to talk about?
And I said, join me on the show, and you're here.
That's right.
Happy to be here. Always that easy.
That easy.
So we're going
to
talk about some data.
Data.
You have an entire show, the Data Exposed
Day
show,
Expo.
Which
yep.
I highly recommend to people. But let's kind of step back and say, let's say you're a developer, Visual Studio developer, .NET developer. You've been working on existing projects for a while. You know, you get a break. You've now come up for air, and you wonder, what's new in the world of data in the past,
yeah.
I don't know, 6 months, year, whatever? What are the types of things? I hear a lot of terms floating around, Hadoop and HD Insights and data lakes and data factories and data catalogs.
And streaming and all that kind of stuff. Right?
Blah, blah. So there's data catalog, and you know, there's SQL on Linux, and there's data lakes, and what's up with all this? So what's up with all this? You know, that's what your show is. But give us, you know, kind of a overview of, you know, what people should learn, where they can go to learn more. What's been going on?
So that's an interesting question, because as we take a step back and go, what's new in the world of data? There's been, and it really, if you've had your head in the sand for 12 months, I think we need to talk, right?
Well, not so much head in the sand, but you know, you
right.
hear about things, they're mentioned in keynotes.
Yeah,
but you know, yeah. what are these things?
What are these things?
Give me the quick pitch. Where do I go to learn more? When would I use things?
Yeah, those are good questions. And I think what we have to do is we have to take a step back and go, okay, how do we look at the entire data platform, the entire data ecosystem? Because, you know, we just released SQL Server 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Rohan on the Data Exposed show and on the SQL Unplugged show talk about, you know, this. And then there's the SQL and on Linux, which is significant. So these are on-premises products, right? But then there's, if you look at the whole features of SQL Server 2016, there's some hybrid things. But then you go out and, okay, you know, you mentioned HD Insight, you know, data lakes and all these things, and that's cloud-based. And so you really have to take a step back and go, you know, where do I learn about all this stuff? What is this stuff? What's new in these? And then how do I use these in my environment, right?
Right.
And I think there's, you know, it really depends on, I don't want to call it what your path is, but, you know, what are you interested in? You know, what are you trying to, what can improve your application? What can improve your industry and your product and things, your apps,
mm-hmm.
really?
Right.
So you take a step back and go, okay, where do I go search for this stuff? And really what, you know, the best place to start is if you're trying to figure this stuff out is you hop over, you know, two sites really, is MSDN, right? So first place you go to MSDN and there's, or I think it's Microsoft.com/SQL Server. And there's Microsoft.com/SQL Server. And really,
right.
here's everything, some great product information around SQL Server 2016.
Okay, so give us the high-level overview of what are the new things. You know, maybe
yep.
people are on 2012, they're on 2014,
yeah.
26 is out. So for me as a developer
yeah.
not a database administrator, but
yep.
me as a developer, what are some of the things I'm going to care most about?
So developer, there's some... Rohan actually made this comment. I don't know if you know who Rohan Kumar is. He basically owns SQL, right? The relational product at Microsoft. And he made the statement that SQL Server the SQL Server 2016 is probably the most significant release of SQL Server in a very long time,
mm-hmm.
right? Probably since 2005, right? So if you look at that and say, okay, what's interesting for developers? There's a whole list of new features. I mean, the SQL 16 is just loaded with new features. So things like Polybase, which is interesting, and I'll talk about these in a little detail a bit. But you got Polybase, you got Always Encrypted, you got Stretch Database, you've got R integration, you've got in-memory OLTP, you've got just a whole bunch.
Okay.
Polybase, I think each one of these has a developer flavor to it. Like, so Polybase, we talk Hadoop and HD Insight, right? We take a step back, and I think, one of the things that leads into this is, you know, from a data perspective, we have to understand, as even as developers, you know, not just DBAs, but developers, have to understand that, you know, data is just not relational anymore. This is why, you know, you have Stream Analytics and Hadoop and HD Insight and all these technologies allow us to work in the realm, you know, DocumentDB and all these, you know, third party, you know, Couch, Mongo and things like that. It's just not relational anymore. We've moved into the world of big data, right, and analytics.
So why is it not relational?
Well, so things, you know, web logs, right? That's not relational. You know, CSV files, JSON, XML, devices, right? The devices that are generated by our band, or data that's generated by your band or your Fitbit or whatever. That's not, you know, not technically, you know, relational data, okay, right? And so we have to start, how do we work with this data? And so what a lot of Hadoop and HD Insight is this mass processing for, you know, just terabytes and terabytes, exabytes and of data. So we look at that and say, all right, how do we process this data? And so what Polybase does in SQL 16 says, you know, let me use a language that I already know, which is T-SQL, connect to HD Insight, Hadoop as a service.
Is that the same thing, HD Insight?
So, yeah, Hadoop? So Hadoop is, you know, Hortonworks Hadoop. Cloudera's got another big one. HD Insight is Hadoop as a service, right?
Okay.
So we're just running Hortonworks version of Hadoop as a service in Azure.
Okay.
What it allows me to do is you know,
so
but
software for storing and analyzing massive amounts of structured and unstructured data.
Yep. Terrible.
So the band is just sending data, right? Your heart rate at this point in time was this.
Yep.
Right.
And, right. So if you think about
this many steps in this time frame.
Steps, heart rates, skin temperature, yep, whatever, right? Then we, you know, when you and I did the last this week on Channel 9, we talked about the Raspberry Pi. So think about all these, the data that the Raspberry Pi or Tesla's or all these other devices that are generating, right? So we're storing this type of structured and unstructured data. How do we process this? And we want to be able to use technologies and languages that we already know, right? So through SQL Server 2016 using Polybase, I can connect and actually write T-SQL statements to, you know, to query unstructured data.
Okay. Right?
That's kind of cool. You know, so as a developer, you know, or a front-end developer, I can do the same thing with, you know, let me, you know, use languages I already know. That's an interesting one. I like always encrypted, you know, from an application, you know, as a developer standpoint, you know, I'm writing a Visual Studio application, you know, C#, whatever. You know, how do I, you know, security is always a big issue, right? And so previously we've had to say things like, okay, you got to go create your, you know, a key here and a key here and then do some, you know, pass these key, you know, public private key type of thing, and been kind of a headache. And with 16, you've got this feature called Always Encrypted, which just says, hey, you encrypt it, but the entire data is encrypted, you know, across the pipe the entire way. There's nothing really special you have to do, right?
Hmm.
And so
when
we were going out to a lot of talking to, you know, early adopter for, you know, ISVs, are like, that's that's one of the features we want right there, right?
Okay.
So that's a cool one. What was some of the others I talked about? R is a good one, right? If you're into analytics, right, you're a developer, you've got R integration services right in SQL Server. You can write R and talk to SQL Server,
okay,
and do R right in, you know, analytics right in SQL Server.
So you could also use the R tools for Visual Studio. That's an extension that's available, right?
Yep. Okay. So all this great technology. I think that's a place to start, right? If we're doing a huge push to, you know, how do we start leveraging some of these technologies in some of our ISVs and partners and customers and things like that. So there's a plenty. I think, you know, the best place to go is, you know, download. There's a, you know, kind of a worksheet or a white paper in there that says, or what is it called, a fact sheet. Here's all the great features and
still SQL Server.
Yeah, still SQL Server.
Okay.
Yeah, go down there. Features, pricing. There's a there's a thing over there that says, hey, you know, how to download the new capabilities. Always encrypted. Oh, real-time operational analytics. That's a good one. Right. This allows me to do. You know, operational analytics, you know, analytics right in, you know, right inside my SQL Server database. So there's temporal tables and things like that. So operational analytics, typically in a company, you'll take your, you know, OLTP data, your transactional data, and then, you know, move that off to a reporting server and things like that to do a lot of your BI work. And operational analytics basically says, hey, let me do you know, a lot of the analytical stuff right within my database, right? I don't have to do any ETL processes from one, you know, point A to point B.
Stretch database.
That's another one,
like,
right?
Automatic resizing of databases?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Thanks for bringing that one up, because there's just a whole list of these. Stretch database is an interesting one for developers, too, because, you know, it's this is where, you know, from a DBA perspective, they're like, okay, my database is just growing astronomical, got all these history tables, right? And the database, you know, the front-end developer just, he doesn't care, but what he cares about is, you know, how's the application running? Do I have to make changes to my code if something happens on the DBA side, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, what kind of changes do I have to make and things like that, right? But Stretch Database actually says, which is really cool, this is where we get into this hybrid scenario, like Polybase hybrid from on-premises to the cloud. Stretch Database says, you know what, we're actually going to leverage the cloud and make this significant change, and your application developer doesn't need to make any changes. So what it does is it says, we're going to take a table, mm-hmm. we're actually going to stretch that table, that's what we call it, Stretch Database, we're going to stretch that table into the cloud.
Oh,
SQL Server still sees it as one table, right? And so we got hot and cold data, right? So any data that you are continuously querying, so things like, you know, I've got, you know, an order table.
Right.
Right, and I've got orders for the last, let's say, 10 years, but I only need, because of compliancy reasons or whatever, I only need, like, you know, three, you know, I'm working with the first, you know, the last 2 years or 3 years, right? Well, what am I going to do with that 7 years? Well, we can put it in, you know, a history table, you know, which is still taking up, you know, costly disk space. But what this says is, let me just take that orders table, stretch that to the cloud. So what it does, it spins up an Azure SQL database server and a database, and then copies, you know, and you say, all right, I want years 4 through 10 to go up into the cloud. Mm. Years 1 through 3 still stay on-premises. SQL Server still sees that as one table, so you don't have to change, as an application developer, I don't have to change my, okay. Still say select star from. Mm-hmm. You should never do a select star from, but, you know, like if I query data that's, you know, happens to be 5 years ago,
right.
SQL Server will take that query and go, oh, this data is in the cloud, go query that data, bring that data back and return it, right? So that's significant for a developer because I don't have to change my code, right? You do have to take, you know, you might want to implement things like, I just drew a blank on the name, where, you know, you have to, you're dealing with latency and connections, mm-hmm. and I think it's called a transient fault handling application framework or something like that, where you're building retries just in case there's things like that, right?
Sure.
So you may want to, best practice states, you should be doing that anyway, right? But from a plain application standpoint, you don't have to make any changes, right?
Mm-hmm. All right,
So that's SQL
2016,
Server.
Lots of
new there.
And I, that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Polybase is the one we were talking about, you know, querying relational, non-relational data, structured, semi-structured.
Talked about cloud, there are a number of data options in the cloud.
Yep.
So give me an overview of those, starting with SQL Database and then talk about some of the other ones.
Yeah, we could probably do, you know, a whole myriad of shows just on the entire, right? But, you know, this is...
We should have a show at Channel 9 devoted to that type of stuff.
We should.
You should lead it.
Yeah, I should. Yeah. I should call it Data Exposed.
Okay.
Right. But if you go there, you know, I think the best is just azure.com takes you to this page, right? And if you get into what I like here is if you actually go to, go ahead and click on documentation, because products is just kind of an overview, but if you go on documentation, if you want to know how to use these features, you go to documentation and sort of groups them in the same way. But like data and storage, SQL Database, DocumentDB.
So SQL Database
this is SQL
is
Server,
literally SQL Server.
Server as a service, right?
Which version? Is it 2016?
2016.
Okay.
Yep.
So running in the cloud.
Running in the cloud, right.
Most of everything that on-prem gives you?
It's pretty on par, right? I think there's a few things that
there's a handful of things that aren't
there. A small handful of things like Service Broker and things like that, right?
Yep.
DocumentDB is our kind of our NoSQL document store in the cloud. Allows me to store JSON documents and index those and things like that. Along the line, there's a Couch or Mongo and things like that, right?
Okay.
But this is primarily on the cloud.
Is there an on-prems version of that?
Nope. They get that asked all the time. They're like, no.
Okay.
Not right.
Now,
and I'm not quite sure if that's not even on the roadmap, right? But
mm-hmm.
Then you have a storage, blob tables, queues. I mean, that's been around forever. That's our kind of a NoSQL, not a document store. You know, blobs actually allows you to store actual documents, right? Then you have SQL Data Warehouse, and we talked about Stretch Database.
So
SQL Data Warehouse is SQL Server data warehousing in the cloud, right? It's your BI component, you know, being able to do data warehousing in the cloud. They just took it, made it available, and same thing. I mean, okay. The on-prem version of data warehouse, it's now available in the cloud, and then SQL Server Stretch Database is what we talked about. This is the
so what's store simple? Data or is it storage?
It's a hybrid cloud storage. If you ask me, and I don't want to lie to you, so I am not up on Store Simple, so we probably should move on from there, right? I'm not
primary storage, backups, yep. Archives. Okay, so it's not necessarily about data we think about it.
Yeah, let me store relational right. data, things
okay,
like that,
cool.
right? Then you get into like analytics, right? If you go into intelligence, let's go to analytics, right? Because this is where a lot of the things we talked about.
There's Lake, Factory, Catalog,
machine learning, stream analytics, all that good stuff, right?
So give me an overview of all of these.
So think about the Reader's Digest version of this is, think about, we talked about Tesla's and Pi's, you know, the whole IoT space, Internet of Things space.
What did we talk about?
Tesla's and Pi. Right. In our last.
All right. So this for folks challenge. that missed that, who don't remember.
So think about, you know, you got these little devices, Raspberry Pis, Tesla's, the little.
The devices.
Oh, okay. Like your band, these little devices that allow you to, you know, that generate data. Could be your phone.
Yes, massive
whatever,
amounts
massive
of data.
Massive amounts of data. Right. How do I consume that? How do we consume that data? And how do we store that data? How do we process that data, right? When we get into the Internet of Things, it's how do we process that data? You know, they call them the three V's, volume, velocity, and variety. You know, the different, you know, the volume, the mass amounts, like you saw, mass amounts of data, right? The variety is just the different types, relational, non-relational, structured, semi-structured. And then you have, that's volume, variety, and then velocity, right? Velocity is, you know, how fast do we, you know, are we consuming that data? Do we need to stream that data in? But for me, it also means, you know, how fast we need to understand that data,
right?
So we have things like, you know, these devices. Do we have it? Is it here? If you go to, it might be, there's event hubs. And there's one called, if you go to, intelligence, it might be in there. So event hubs and there's IoT hub. Maybe it's not the analyst. It should be on analyst. Oh, Internet of Things. There you go. Like IoT hub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Event hub. So a lot of these are because, you know, stream analytics, machine learning, that's also on analytics. It was on the analytics tab. So you got some. But you have event hubs and IoT hub. This is where you take that data, you consume it, send it into event hub or IoT hub. Mm-hmm. And this is where it comes from, a temporary storage place where it gets ready to be picked up. So you'll have stream analytics as a service it's a streaming service that'll go into event hub or IoT hub, pick that data up, and then route it to. You know, hot path, cold path. You want to, you know, extreme analytics will say, hey, I need to understand that right now, so let me send the data to Power BI, the Power BI dashboard, right? Okay. Or, you know, maybe I want to process it later, so let me store it and send it to, if you go back to analytics, let me store it, send it to either, you know, the storage or a data lake store, right, for mass storage, right?
So what's a data lake store?
So this is, if you go back to, so if you data lake store and you go back to data, remember there's data had, you know, storage.
Mm-hmm.
Data lake store is a hyperscale, no limitation data storage mechanism, right?
Okay.
Allows me to store just any type of data, right?
Got it.
So no file size limitation, no limitation to how much data you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Allows me to just do, you know, and then on top of that, you know, because it's an Azure Data Lake, I can run HT Insight on top of that data, things like that, right?
So there's a place to store this massive amount of data that these things are sending. Analytic workloads.
Yep.
It's not necessarily stuff that comes from the band. It could be stuff that comes from your
anywhere
e-commerce site.
Right. Any type of data that's being ingested. Where do you want to ingested? Where do you want to store that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then because it's Azure Data Lake, then you have Azure Data Lake Analytics, which is, you know, the new SQL language allows me to write. And this is interesting for developers. So if you are a developer in Visual Studio, go look at. Go back. Is it go to documentation here? Is it listed here? Is it analytics? Go to analytics. I wonder if it's listed there. Go to type data lake analytics. Because there's this I gotta look at where it's at. There's this, we came up with this new language called USQL. It stands for Unified SQL, right? Mm-hmm. So it allows me in Visual Studio. In fact, that ought to be, that's Robert and I's next show together is USQL.
So you're saying if I do this, Visual Studio and USQL,
yep.
I will find something?
No, not MySQL. This is live, folks. No,
No?
Nope, let's do this.
Did I get USQL wrong?
Let's do U-SQL.
U-SQL.
U-SQL, right, okay. There we go. The new data language for, there you go, right there. Okay, that's it, right?
Okay.
The new big data language for Azure Data Lake, right? Mm-hmm. Allows me basically, so in Visual Studio, I can write all these massive, cool. Queries
SQL
for
plus C-sharp.
SQL plus C-sharp.
Cool.
Right? So maybe we should do a show on that.
We should.
We should do it because it's right to Visual Studio, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is if you want to do, if you want to get into analytics, right, through mm-hmm. Visual Studio, this is, USQL is your tool of choice.
Okay. Cool.
Right?
Cool.
Because it combines C-sharp, it allows me to write kind of T-SQL and combines those. That's why I call it Unified SQL. It allows me to do, hyperscale, analytical queries and mm-hmm. jobs for processing all that data, right?
Okay.
So you have all this data sitting in Azure Data Lake Store, and you want to process that data, HD Insight, but allows me USQL say go execute jobs and do analytics across all that data.
Cool.
Right. So that's one if you're a Visual Studio developer, go look at USQL, right?
Okay.
That's another one. The machine learning, we talked about streaming. Data factory is another one. This is kind of your data movement perspective, right? It allows me to take data and do transformations and kick off jobs and things like that. It's kind of more kind of a data movement ETL type of tool, right?
Is that something that a developer would
yep.
be?
Because Stream Analytics and Data Factory have mm-hmm. Visual Studio plugins.
Okay.
Right? So good question. They both have Visual Studio plugin. You can actually write Stream Analytic jobs or create data factory pipelines okay. mm-hmm. to data write in Visual Studio and then publish those to the cloud. So you can do authoring and debugging and things like that right in Visual Studio. That's mm-hmm. an awesome one.
Cool.
Machine learning. I don't know of. I don't think there's a Visual Studio plugin, but in fact, I doubt there's one. But I could be wrong. But I think there's. This is machine learning. This is your predictive analytics, right?
Right.
I'm going to take all this data and run it through and kind of, let me learn, look for patterns in my data, mm-hmm. do kind of predictive analytic type of stuff.
Right.
But your big tools are, the data lake analytics with USQL, Stream Analytics, Data Factory. You can actually if you go back to the data and storage, we're at HD Insight. A lot of these, it might be Internet of Things, somewhere in there is, HD Insight. I can act, there's a HD Insight plugin.
HD Insight is under analytics.
Yeah, analytics. There's an HD Insight plugin.
Okay.
For Visual Studio that I can actually write MapReduce jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? And fire those off, okay. right?
So what's the data catalog?
Data catalog, I just learned about this. This is, how do I... it's all about, so if I'm in an organization and, how do I discover, you join Microsoft, right? yeah. How do I know where data is? If I want to go find, where's this type of data? Where's this mm-hmm. type of data, right? Azure Data Catalog is a data discovery for, just the type of data sources
discover,
you have.
Understand and consume data sources. Oh,
yep.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it centralizes to the point where, hey, you can you now have security and privileges and rights. You can, get granular as to who has access to what. But it makes it easy for people to come in and say, okay, where is this data that I'm looking for? So make very data discovery very easy. And then mm-hmm. the show we just did is kind of the glossary on top of that, so I can kind of...
You just showing that?
The last show we just did.
Yes,
right?
Did.
Business glossary. That mm-hmm. says, you may have a term for one thing, and I may have a term
right.
for, a different term for the same thing. How do we, kind of come to agree on the a term? And then
ooh,
we can actually add tags to these terms so we can mm-hmm. make it easily searchable and things like that, right?
Right. Cool.
So it's kind of more of a data discovery indexing type of thing. So Don't know if there's anything in Visual Studio there, but a lot of the stuff is now being moved to Visual Studio from a developer perspective, because if I want to do, you know, author for things for the cloud, such as streaming or, you know, data movement and ETL processes, pipelines, or if I want to pick up MapReduce jobs, a lot of this stuff is, you can now do through Visual Studio.
Cool.
Right? Very powerful, very cool. Yep. This is, you know, if you're new into this stuff and want to, you know, a lot of these are, if you just go
great
up to
place to learn is the documentation.
Yeah, start the documentation, because like, for example, if you go to
what is,
oh yeah, for example, if you go to analytics and then say, all right, tell me about you know, stream analytics, or actually Data Factory, right? Go to Data Factory, and then there's a whole thing, learning path, overview,
build your first pipeline,
develop and manage. This is the place to, you know, this is the actual place to start, right? It gives you a high level, but, you know, because, and actually what I like, this is every single one of these has a learning path, right? Start here, do this, and there's links to these things where it goes, all right, and it's kind of a step-by-step, do this, and then once you, hey, if you're ready to start getting deeper, then you get into that, dive in and start learning about the advanced things, like run samples, like, you know, manage pipelines, debug pipelines, you know.
Right.
A lot of these are, and there's, oh, there's a USQL right there.
Yep.
A lot of these have things like, you know, how to do it in Visual Studio. Like, what was I just looking at? If you look at Data Factory, you know, if you go back, this is kind of fun. Go back here and say overview, oh, build your first pipeline, right? Well, I want to do it in using the portal, or I want to use it doing PowerShell, or using Visual Studio, or use it, right? A lot of these, if they have Visual Studio, you can do it right through
Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Nice. Download the latest Azure Data Factory plugin from the Visual Studio Gallery.
Yeah. So Stream Analytics has, so a lot of these are,
awesome.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So this is actually pretty cool. It allows you to say, hey, I want to work in the world of big data, but I want to do it in a, you know, I don't want to have to open a browser, you know. Right. So the tools are getting, you know, it's version, you know, 0.9, right? So a lot of these tools are still
63, in 63,000 downloads. That's pretty good.
Still, yeah, significant download, right?
Yeah.
So people are starting to, how do we play with this? And they're taking feedback. And so if you want to, just even if you want to just start playing with it,
right,
you know, this is a great place to learn and then provide feedback.
One of the cool things about Azure, that team has done an amazingly excellent job with their website and just showing you how to get started doing things.
A cool
number of tutorials.
Yep.
Yep.
And I can see that, you know, there's, I wish, you know, and I was just talking to someone about this. If you go back, you know, if you go back a couple, you know, back to that main page, where was it at? You know, here, where we can go, you know, it would be nice if we had something like that for SQL Server, right? Mm. Where we say, hey, you know, learn how to do X, learn how to do that, right?
Yep.
Give me a playground with, right, or play with that. So we're, you know, we Azure's doing a phenomenal job, as you see, right? Doing a phenomenal job, and even doing a phenomenal job from a tooling perspective.
Yeah.
Right? I'd like to see SQL kind of go that way. And I think they're, not that they're doing a bad job, but I'd like to see SQL kind of go, hey, how do we, you know, because a lot of the things that we focus on from a SQL perspective is for, like, DBAs, right? And I think there's a gap for developer, you know, front-end developers, right? Give me a playground, or, you know, how do I do X? How do I take advantage of, if I'm a developer, take advantage of some of these things? So, you know, there's a push for that. So,
okay.
Yep.
Well,
lots of fun.
We can do that on the show.
We can do that, yeah.
We can fill holes in this show.
That's right.
Just let me know.
You gotta do one every week. Well, I mean, there's plenty to do here from Visual Studio. I mean, if we look at this, you know, there's plenty we can do from a big data perspective, right?
Yep.
How do we start, you know, how do you fire up and do USQL? How do you use some of these things, right? So there's plenty to talk about.
Cool. Looking forward to featuring some of this stuff.
Looking forward to it. This will be fun.
Excellent. Excellent.
Back to the Robert and Scott
Show. Starting tomorrow, which will be the next fiscal year.
Next fiscal tomorrow. Planning.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. This is
always
fun.
It's kind of a whirlwind tour of a lot of the stuff that's out there. As you can see, fairly easy to go learn about it and start playing around with it.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
We will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Cheers.